You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast, Friday, March 1st. You know, March means spring's right around the horizon, although you could not tell it by the weather. Anyway, I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Really appreciate you joining us today as we close out another week. The Combine is in full swing in Indianapolis for the first time today. Players will hit the field for drills. But again, we're not talking about the Combine right now as it's happening. A lot of the big action will take place over the weekend. Instead, what I'd like to talk about today is an issue I've been asked about a lot over the last few weeks. People have been asking my take. I've gotten a number of emails about this issue. So I wanted to talk about it. It's one of the biggest names out there this year. It's Antonio Brown, who at this point looks like he's on his way out of Pittsburgh. It seems like that relationship is not going to continue. It seems like Brown is pretty dead set on leaving the Pittsburgh Steelers, likely trade candidate, which means that a team like the Jets, which could use a game-breaking player on offense and has a young quarterback to build around, plenty of cap space, they're a team that you frequently hear rumors about. Will the Jets trade for Brown? And I got to be honest, I'm going to take a slightly controversial position. This is just my opinion. As always, doesn't make me right, doesn't make you wrong if you disagree with me. I'm just going to lay out my opinion. Again, maybe I'm overthinking it. You can tell me. You can let me know your thoughts after the show. Now, I think anybody who wants Brown, the reasons are pretty obvious here. You can lay them out, and the fit for Brown, again, is obvious. Jets need a number one receiver. Brown is arguably the best receiver in football. I'm not saying he is definitely the best, but the way I view it is I don't like to rank guys 1, 2, 3. I kind of like to put them in tiers, and because I think when you get to the top, the difference between players is so small. The difference between the truly elite is so small that I view it from the standpoint, am I going to call you crazy if you say this guy's the best receiver in the league? Do I think there's a credible argument you can say Antonio Brown's the best receiver in football? Yeah, you can make. I'm not going to laugh at you if you say that. If you tell me, Jermaine Kearse is the best receiver in football, I'm going to laugh at you. That's just kind of silly. If you tell me, somebody else, Robbie Anderson or Quincy Enunwa, these guys are incredible NFL players. They're not the best receiver in football, though. You could not argue that credibly. But you could make a credible argument that Brown is. What separates Brown from a Julio Jones, from an Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't know. Some you can throw, and there are other names you can throw in the mix. I mean, I think it's once you get to the top, you're kind of you're really splitting hairs. So I think he's clearly one of the top receivers in football. So from that sense, it would be a fit. You could also argue that he fits what the Jets do really well. And this is not something I'm coming up with. A number of people have stated this, and I think it's accurate. What's one aspect of Sam Darnold's game that might make him really special? I would argue that it's his ability to extend plays, his ability to move, break the pocket when things break down, keep plays alive. So when you have a quarterback like that, the types of receivers you want are smart guys who are going to know when to look back, when to break their routes, when to come back to the football. Those guys are going to need to have their heads on a swivel. These are guys who can't just run their routes without looking back, without seeing what's going on out there, because the progression of the play might require them to break off their routes and make a play as Sam extends plays. Where does Antonio Brown come from? He comes from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the top quarterbacks in the league at extending plays. Now, a little different. He doesn't rely on athleticism as much as he just relies on how big he is, how tough he is to sack. But the same idea. Brown has made a living, and there are other aspects of Brown's game that are great. I mean, he's very elusive with the ball in his hands. He's been a great route runner through his career. But one of the things that's been great about Brown is just how smart he is, how good he is at breaking his routes, knowing when to deviate from the play call, knowing when he needs to do something different, come back to the football. And he just developed as rocky as his relationship is now with Ben Roethlisberger, off the field, on the field, it's been a thing of beauty through the years. Yeah, it really has been. It's actually one of the things I really enjoy watching in the NFL. Is I've always enjoyed watching the Steelers games, watching the on field, the what's happening during. Now we all know the relationship's not great off the field, but on the field, it's the thing of beauty watching those two work together. And as a football fan, I think it's kind of disappointing to see that connection ending. And also, and this is something that's big in the NFL, just because of the way the salary cap works out. Star players, when they get traded, their contracts tend to become very reasonable. And, you know, I'm going through Over the Cap right now, the tremendous salary cap website article that was written there a few weeks ago. It was a few months ago, actually. It was back in January by Jason Fitzgerald, who does a great job with that website. Anything you would ever want to know about the NFL salary cap, you can find overthecap.com. I'll give them a little shout out here just because it's a site I love using. It's a site that really has taught me a lot about the salary cap, a lot about the way the business of the NFL works. It's just a great resource. It shows you a breakdown of every player's contract in the league. So Jason wrote an article. And he talked about a lot of the cap implications. He wrote it back on January 3rd. And it was mainly about the Steelers, but he also mentioned what the team that acquires Brown would be getting. And the cap costs are $15.125 million for 2019, $11.3 million for 2020, and $12.5 million for 2021. By the way, no money guaranteed. So that's a pretty good deal. I mean, if you look at the wide receiver position in this league, especially those last 2 years at $11.3 million and $12.5 million. Again, like, I mean, just think about that. We were talking yesterday's show about how Dante Moncrief got close to $10 million last year. Dante Moncrief on the open market. So you're talking about 1 year of 15.1, but then 11.3, 12.5. In a league where Dante Moncrief is getting close to $10 million. That's what a team that trades for Antonio Brown may be getting. So that's the case, and it's a pretty obvious case. And I think, you know, there are clear benefits when you, I mean, I did not need to go on for as long as I did telling you about the potential benefits of Antonio Brown. If you watch the NFL, you understand that there are reasons to want Antonio Brown, but there are also reasons I'd be a little jittery about the Jets making a move, and we'll talk about them ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Locked On Jets podcast here on March 1st, talking Antonio Brown. We've laid out the reasons the Jets could be interested. Mainly, he's really, really good at football, and the Jets need players who are really, really good at football. But I got to be honest with you, I would be hesitant to make a deal for Brown. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. And yes, admittedly, look, I'm not in the Steelers locker room. I can only go on what's been reported. But and look, I understand that these reports are not always accurate, but there are things that I've read about this situation that make me very uneasy about the idea of acquiring Brown. Now, you know, one thing I've seen is the idea that, you know, this is not really Brown's, this whole situation is not Brown's fault. And I think that Ben Roethlisberger is a very convenient target here because Ben Roethlisberger is a jerk. That's my view. And I think I could say much worse things about Ben Roethlisberger, and I think that, you know, a lot of them would probably be true. There's no question, in my mind, Ben Roethlisberger, not a great guy, not a great teammate. It's that seems clear, and I think it's perfectly plausible to guess that, you know, Roethlisberger has some blame. Maybe Roethlisberger has a lot of blame. Maybe this whole situation, this whole falling out between Brown and Ben, is Roethlisberger's fault. But that's not really what the issue is here. The issue is more, how are you going to react when you don't like something that's happening? And that's where I have an issue with Brown, because it's not really about whether this is Ben Roethlisberger's fault. It's about how Antonio Brown reacts when he's unhappy, because there's going to be a situation on his new team where he's unhappy, and how's he going to react to that? And this is showing you maybe not that great. I mean, multiple instances this year where he's gone AWOL. That's not good. I mean, we saw him sit out. He was deactivated for a game, week 17, with his team still in the playoff mix, the team needing to win a game to make the playoffs. I mean, look what happened this year when Trumaine Johnson did it when the Jets season was over. The Jets had nothing to play for that last week. That was bad. And he deserved a lot of criticism for that. That's unacceptable. Now imagine doing that, you know, disappearing. And there were multiple disappearances this year. doing it with your season on the in the riding in the balance, week 17. So you know that bugs me. I think the other thing that really bugs me about this situation is that there are multiple reports that have indicated a big part of Brown's issues. And look, I don't know. Maybe this is planted by the team, but it's just been so all-encompassing. But you just get and this is something I've read, is a lot of his issues come with some jealousy over Juju Smith-Schuster, the way the Steelers have treated Juju Smith-Schuster. Smith-Schuster is, of course, the tremendous receiver, actually a college teammate of Sam Darnold, who the Steelers have. And Brown apparently was jealous because Smith-Schuster was voted the team MVP this year. So that's you know, not great. Now, I think to some extent you have to deal with the wide receivers frequently have big personalities in this league. They're frequently tough to deal with. But you look at the situation the Jets are in, and you hear stuff like that, and it does give me some pause. And I'll tell you why. Because Sam Darnold at this point, look, I think everybody respects Sam in the locker room. He's still trying to take ownership of this football team. And what's going to happen? Antonio Brown comes in, and there's a game where Chris Herndon gets targeted more. There's a game Robbie Anderson gets targeted. You know, Antonio Brown doesn't get the targets he wants. What happens then? That's a concern for me. And then maybe I'm overstating this. Maybe you think I'm overreacting. But that bugs me. And, you know, I always think, I think back to a couple of recent examples in New York football where there's been a receiver who's been a destructive presence with a young quarterback. A lot of people around the Giants will tell you that Eli Manning never really took control of that team. It never really felt like his locker room until they got rid of Jeremy Shockey. And Shockey was a guy who, now he was not anywhere near as productive as Brown, and that plays into it as well. You know, there's a direct proportion for how much you're willing to put up with, how much distractions, how much nonsense you're willing to put up with, and the player's talent. Talented players, your threshold for dealing with inconveniences certainly does rise, so that has to be considered. But, you know, Shockey was a problem with that. I'll give you another recent example. I'm not sure it necessarily derailed Mark Sanchez's career, but I remember hearing stories back in 2011 about how, you know, he wanted his receivers to run extra routes. Holmes and Plaxico Burress, Derek Mason, those three wonderful guys the Jets put around a young quarterback, and they wouldn't do it. And that just seemed like a poisonous thing for a young quarterback. So that's another issue, I think. I think that these are the things that concern me. It's not just about talent. And I think if you've been in any organization, where you work, where you go to school, you know that talent isn't everything. It's also about how everybody works together. A guy can be the most talented person in the world, but your organization is not going to achieve what you're aiming to achieve if everybody's not on the same page. Everybody's not going to work together. If one guy is going out there causing problems constantly, it doesn't matter what your line of business is. That's just the case. Do you really want to put that potential situation in the locker room? It's something to consider. Maybe you would. Again, I mean, this guy is so talented that maybe your answer is yes. But I think that's a concern. And I'll tell you, this is something other people have brought up. And again, I'm getting into, I don't love talking in these terms because I typically like talking more X's and O's, stuff I can prove, whether it's, you know, stuff on film, the numbers. I don't love speculating like this. And a lot of this is speculation on stuff I don't know. I'm talking locker room stuff where, you know, we don't really, even reporters in the locker room every day don't really know entirely what's going on. These are things that concern me. I think another concern is you just look at how erratic and Brown has just been very erratic lately. I think that that's something that it just bugged me how erratic he's been. And I look at him, he's going to be in the big, you know, Jets get him, he's in the big city. Odell Beckham's there too. Are these two going to try and outshine each other? There are things that bother me in that sense. But I think there are bigger value reasons beyond this that that would also make me hesitant to pull a trade. We'll talk about those here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Locked On Jets here on March 1st. This is John B. from GangreneNation.com talking Antonio Brown. And I'm giving you some reasons that I'd be very hesitant to make a deal for him. But I'll tell you, beyond anything else, I think there are value issues here. And I'm kind of making educated guesses about what Brown could allow the Steelers to acquire on the open market, what the Steelers may get in compensation. It seems like we're talking at least a second-round pick, maybe a first-round pick. Now, the Jets don't have a second-round pick this year, which makes this very complicated, because if the Jets give up the third overall pick, it's going to be an overpay. So essentially what you're going to have to do is, I mean, to make this work value-wise without a drastic overpay, because they just think the third pick in the draft is way too much to give up, you essentially have to bring a third team into this deal. And dealing for a superstar is tricky enough. And now you have to get a third team in there and make sure the third team is satisfied with the value it's getting. And essentially you'd have to pull off a trade like it has happened in the past. I mean, there actually is a Jets example I can go back to 13 years ago. That was when the Jets put the franchise tag on John Abraham and traded him to Atlanta. But Atlanta did not like the value proposition. They felt their first round pick was too high. So they essentially had to bring a third team into the deal, Denver. And they essentially traded down in the first round and then flipped the Jets ended up getting the Denver pick, which was lower than the Atlanta pick. And then Atlanta got a few draft picks in return. So it's really tough to do this. It's tricky enough when you have two teams. Now you have a third team that needs to get value. It's going to be really tough. And beyond that, I mean, can the Jets afford to give up any more premium picks, even if they are able to pull this off? Look, the Jets certainly need great players like Brown, but they also need to stock up their young talent. And this is the tricky thing, is the Jets have two mechanisms by which they can restock their roster. They have draft picks and they have cap space. And I'm hesitant to make any deal where I have to give up both, because the Jets are going to need as many of these resources as they can. They may have a lot of resources in terms of cap space, but they're starting off a little bit behind the eight ball in terms of draft picks, because they do not have a second round draft pick this year. Now, they've added a third round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, but they don't have a second round. So they're draft pick poor to begin with. Draft picks are the best way to rebuild your roster, because if you know what you're doing, and look, I know the response to that is, do the Jets know what they're doing? Well, that's beside the point. You have to be able to hit on draft picks. So the Jets need good players in the draft, and they need to sign good free agents. They need to bring in good veteran players who they're going to give decent money to, but they also need to hit on draft picks, because if we're talking about building a long-term contender, it's not going to happen through trading for guys in their 30s. It's going to happen through sustainable success can only be built through drafting effective players, effective young players who will grow with the team, who will become part of the core of the team. And I just don't, that's something that I just don't think the Jets can give up an early pick for Antonio Brown. If the Jets had more picks, and this is something the Jets have not been good at, if you stockpile picks, if you have a lot of extra picks, yeah, you can throw an extra two, you can throw a two there. And then getting Brown's easy, because you still have a full collection of picks. If you had an extra two, an extra three. Jets don't have that. Now, I can't complain about the fact they traded for Sam Darnold, but what I can complain about is the fact that the Jets have not done a good enough job under this GM of stockpiling picks, so they have so they can kind of have their cake and eat it too. When you have extra picks, you can draft players and you can make trades when opportunities present themselves. The Jets have not put themselves in a position to strike because they have not added those extra picks. So I understand the idea that, in some instances, I get the idea that, yeah, Brown's a sure thing as a good player, but there's more to it than that. A draft pick, if you hit on a draft pick, you could potentially get a Pro Bowl type player on a cheap deal and a guy who could last you for 10 years instead of just a handful of years. So those are things to consider. Those are pretty much the abstract arguments, but I think where the Jets are right now, this is not a team that we can really afford to be giving up more draft picks. The Jets need to use as many resources as they can to upgrade this roster, because there are so many holes on this roster that trading even a guy as great as Brown, who's going to cost cap space and a draft pick, it makes it tough. And there's one last thing I would like to say, because I've heard this from so many people, is that there's this comparison out there of Brown to when the Patriots traded for Randy Moss, and I don't see that comparison at all, because you have to remember, Moss was, back when the Patriots traded for Moss, his value was at an all-time low, really. The Patriots were able to get him for a fourth-round pick. And yes, I am a little upset about this, because the Jets traded their fourth-round pick that year for Kevin Barlow. Well, they traded their 07 fourth-round pick for Kevin Barlow. They made the trade in 06, but Jets essentially traded the same pick for Kevin Barlow that the Patriots traded for Randy Moss. So, yeah, I'm still a little annoyed about that. But you have to remember, Moss was coming off a bad year. Moss only caught 42 passes, 3 touchdowns, 553 yards in 2006 with Oakland. I mean, there was legitimate chance his career was over, it seemed, at that point. So, you know, and the Patriots, of course, when they bring in guys who are risk, who are viewed as kind of risky players, they don't spend a lot on them. They don't make, and they're not the centerpiece of the team. It's Belichick's locker room. It's Brady's locker room. And those, and the thing is, those problem players know going in, I better do what they ask of me, or I'm going to be gone because I'm expendable to them. Because if I fight Belichick or I fight Brady, I'm not going to win. It's different when you bring in a guy who's, you know, when you bring in a guy who's going to be one of the centerpieces of your team. It's very different. It's a very different situation. And that's what anybody who brings in Brown, he's going to be one of the centerpieces of the team. He knows he's staying there. He knows that team's not getting rid of him. So it's just not the same. And he's still productive. I mean, Patriots bought low on Moss. I understand everything that's going on with Brown. But, I mean, any team's not, this is not buying low on Antonio Brown. You know, you're bringing him in to be one of the centerpieces of your roster. This is, so it's not like you're just taking a low risk chance on him. This is a big swing of the bat bringing him in. Anyway, thank you for listening to today's show. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll be back again next week. We'll talk some more Jets.